Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in today's episode, it's episode 510, and I just had something I wanted to share with y'all. So it's a solo episode, and I'm hoping, hope is going to be the word of the day, y'all, that this is a perspective shift that God revealed to me on Sunday, and I'm hoping that it is sticky enough for you and that it helps guide you as you walk through different stages of your mom journey. So let's get right to it. Let's flip the switch. Here we go. So I'm sitting down to record this episode and something just happened, and I think that it's my opening story. So I got a text that a very fancy florist in our area was sending flowers my way. And at the taping of this, it's before Valentine's Day. And so I know my husband loves to order from this company. And it's like, oh my goodness, my expectation, my idea was it would be these beautiful flowers dropped off at my door. Well, knock at the door, get the flowers, go to put them on the table, and see that on the card, it is not my name. It is another person's name. It is a different street in our neighborhood. And immediately I went from joy to annoyance to realizing I've got to remedy this situation. I called the florist. I let them know. I called back because I realized they never asked for my address on where they're going to pick them up from. And so I called them back. I give them my address. And then I'm sitting down to do this episode and I realize it's been an hour. Are those flowers still out there? It's not the best weather today. I go look, they're still out there. Annoyed. I'm all, you know, I'm worried that this person is not going to get their flowers and that my flowers are out there wandering around and that I'm not going to get my flowers. This is the scenario that I've created. Not to mention a little frustrated that I'm supposed to be sitting down recording this episode for you, and instead I'm having to call the florist and work this out. So I call again, and once again, I give them the order number, and once again, I explain the situation, and this gal said, okay, let me talk to the person that you talked to before. She gets back on the phone, and she said, hey, go ahead. You can keep that arrangement. I see on your husband's order that the flowers you received are actually larger than the ones he ordered. And so we decided that you may like this order even better. I'm still in shock. And I said, well, what do I do with the card? Well, you can just toss that. I said, was there a card on my order? She read me what Bruce sweetly wrote. And now I have sitting on my table this beautiful arrangement that is beyond what not only we paid for, but beyond what I imagined I would be getting. And it is a representation of what I'm going to talk about today. And I'm going to start by connecting with what you may be feeling. You may be feeling like I did when I realized and looked at the card, these aren't for me. That disappointment, that discouragement. But let's take it a step further. Maybe you're in a season with your kids, and I'm going to address the moms of teenagers in the room because oftentimes content is not directed to us because it is our kids' or young adults' story. But the path they're on isn't the path you hoped for. You're discouraged. You're looking at their life and their choices and the path that you feel like they're on. And you're discouraged and maybe even depressed by what you see. You've sacrificed, whether you left a career to choose to stay at home, whether you had a career, have a career, and you were fitting all the mom things in the margins and wearing yourself out with appointments and making all the magic happen. And this is what your child's choosing for their life. It's not the future you imagined. It's not what you wanted. And I just want to, first of all, let you know that you're not alone. You're not alone. And I think a lot of us need to know that. But I also want to personally share, coming from a place where I was pretty depressed and discouraged and disappointed as a mom of lots of teens. And not to say my boys are amazing. They're amazing boys. They are incredible. But the stage of teenage years is not often a warm and fuzzy stage, and it can be discouraging. And on Sunday, we were going through a familiar passage in Romans 15, and even a verse that I think was on most of y'all's Christmas cards. I kind of think I made a joke about if one more person puts Romans 15:13 on their Christmas card, it became too familiar to me. But we were working through it on Sunday as part of our prayer series, and our pastor, Neil Tamba, shared something. And inside of me, through the Holy Spirit, something clicked. And it was enough for me to gear up the courage to come on here and create a solo podcast, which y'all know I don't do often. But I'm going to work through this. And here's what we're going to do. I'm going to break down this concept of the two choices we have, because I realized we have these two choices. I can either believe in an imagined bad scenario or outcome that I'm trying on all my power to keep from happening, or I can flip a switch and choose hope and believe and expect in God for an unimaginable good thing to come. Sounds simplistic, but we're going to break it down right after you hear from one of our sponsors. So are you willing to flip the switch with me? Let's break it down. I believe there are three things we need to lock in on this. One is belief, one is imagination, and one is power control. And so how this kind of concept came to me is Pastor Neil defined hope. He called it a confident expectation in God about unimaginable good things to come. Let me say it again. A confident expectation in God about unimaginable good things to come. Now, the reason he was even defining hope, I will read the Romans 15:13 verse to you, and maybe it is super familiar to you, and maybe it's not. I don't need to assume that we're all going in the same circle. So here it is. May the God of hope, there's that hope, fill you with all joy and peace. Moms, we want joy and peace. I don't know about you, but I want joy and peace as you believe in him. So that, we always circle the so that. Why is the so that there? Why is this true? Why are we wanting a God to fill us with joy and peace as we believe in him? So that we get more hope. You may abound in hope. How? Not by our own willpower, by the power of the Holy Spirit. What struck me is my daily reality, my go-to, my default mode is those three things, belief, imagine, power control, is to believe the worst, these imagined worst case scenarios and outcomes and paths, and then I use my power and control to make sure that they don't happen. And maybe that's even the power control of just thinking about it and ruminating over it and catastrophizing it. And so what would it look like if I took that belief and that imagination and that power control, and instead of putting all my faith in this bad outcome, what if I flipped a switch and I imagined the best, or even things beyond my imagination? It was not on my bingo card for today that I would get not only flowers from my favorite florist in the Dallas area, but a larger floral arrangement, because they would send me somebody else's flowers. That was not my imagined scenario for today. What would life look like if I could possibly hope? And even if it's naively, even if I'm being naive, y'all, we don't have to make sense of the world all the time. We don't have to. I think sometimes we're so afraid of looking like we're not bright enough or sensible enough, or we don't want to look like we're Pollyanna. And so we aren't imagining and believing in these good case scenarios. We feel like it's under our control. And I'm going to give examples. This is what worry-based, fear-fueled control looks like. Checking the baby monitor obsessively. Planning out every move preemptively our teenagers are going to make. Worrying over their friendships, their grades, their health. What if they don't get invited? What if they fail? What if they get hurt? What if I'm not a good enough mom? What if I mess it all up? That is not joy and peace. That's not. That's me going to belief in worst case scenarios by my power and control. Flipping the switch is believing in the God who, man, I mean, let's review who this God is. He is an all-powerful, all-knowing God who has access to all people and all things. He's not done writing anyone's story. He's not done writing my story. Ephesians 3:20 tells us that God is able to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. But do we believe that to be true? Do we believe that God is that God? Do we believe that he's the God who can do the unimaginable good things? The belief aspect. I'm doubling down on belief lately. We're believing in something. It's not about, oh, I just don't know. I'm not a person of belief. You are believing in something. You're believing in the truth of the news you're reading. You're believing in fear, what fear is telling you. You're believing thoughts that were planted when you were a child, thoughts that were placed there by a parent, thoughts about who you are, thoughts about your need to keep yourself safe, thoughts about people aren't trustworthy, God isn't trustworthy. All these thoughts and beliefs seep out into our behavior. And so maybe that's just where you start today, is you lean into the belief part. What are you believing? Pay attention. Journal. God, show me. What am I believing to be true? Am I believing you are who you say you are? Am I believing that you can? It's back to that 12-step episode I did with Ian Cron, that I know I'm a limited human being and I can't manage my life or other people's lives. I believe that a divine power, God, can. Are you stuck there? And then the third step is surrendering to that. I think I'll let God do it. I think I'll let him. That's where you are. And so lean into that belief. What are you believing? What are you believing is true about yourself? What are you believing is true about your kids? What are you believing is true about your life? Writing it down, paying attention to your beliefs. And the second thing is your imagination. Boy, oh boy, does it run wild, right? We can create. Whether your child is 2 years old, you've already decided because they hit a kid on the head with a truck that they are going to live a life of aggression and violence. Whether it's a child who's 14 and can't remember to turn in their homework and you're like, well, how are they ever going to hold a job? Whether it's, you know, a later high school kid in a bad relationship and you're like, how are they ever going to get married? We imagine outcomes that are not our truth. Now, some of you are walking in true hell scenarios right now that are not imagined. But I think what we don't do is even in those dark, 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 dark places, we struggle to imagine it getting better. So I want you to think about, and I wrote about this in Right Where You Belong, Paul and Barnabas are in prison. Hell, because they were chained. They weren't even allowed to get up to go to the bathroom, eat food. This is their reality, imprisoned. Or even Viktor Frankl, who wrote Man's Search for Meaning, he's in the concentration camp. His reality is men and women are dying for the only reason of being Jewish. That's his reality. But he imagined, and I don't know if Paul imagined, Paul was praising God in prison, but Viktor Frankl imagined a future where he was standing in a room and he was teaching people about the psychology of imprisonment and suffering and all that he had learned. He created a good thing to come in his mind. He imagined a good thing which allowed him to suffer well in his actual thing. So if I don't know if that feels Pollyanna. To me, that feels like perspective. To me, that feels like purpose. To me, that feels like allowing God to integrate our imaginations, to flip that switch to hope. What if something bad happens? But what if something incredible happens? What if my child, in the midst of this struggle of not making this team, is actually on the right path for them? What if my child does find meaningful, good, deep relationships? What if God uses their struggles to build their character? What if I am exactly the mom God chose for this moment? What if He's equipped me for it? When we take that shift and we move from worry and imagined worst case scenarios to hope and imagined best case, and even unimaginable, imaginably more than we can imagine, we stop carrying that weight and that control. And that is the third thing we're going to talk about right after these sponsors. So we talked about belief. We're believing in something. Might as well be a God who can do, who knows all and who can do all and who loves us more than we can imagine, who loves your kids more than you can imagine. So belief and our imaginations. And then let's lean into the power and control, because I really think this is something I hit on a lot in the Don't Mom Alone book, but it's this concept that I am fully responsible for the outcome for my child. That is a very heavy weight to bear. It's also that formula mindset of look at all that I did for my kids and look at who they are right in this moment. And it is discouraging to me and it is disappointing to me because look at how much I sacrificed for them. And man, if anyone can identify, it is God. I mean, look at the cycle of the Israelites constantly going to their own devices and disappointing Him and then crying out for help again and that cycle. But He didn't lose hope. He actually sent our living hope, which was Jesus. And He did that to allow us to be with Him forever. Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, removing the separation that all of our sin and our own choosing and our own choosing our ways did to our relationship with God, so that when Christ left, He said, I'm going so that you can have God in you through the Holy Spirit. God's presence and God's power, not your power. That's that last part of Romans 15:13. It said, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, which are fruit of the Spirit, by the way, not fruit of your efforts, not fruit of your parenting, not fruit of your behavior management system that's like, hey, we're going to really focus on the fruit of the Spirit for our kids. Nope. It's fruit of a Spirit, God's Spirit, as you believe in Him, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The abounding in hope, even the ability to get more hope, comes from the Holy Spirit, not from our effort. The goal of this suffering and maybe the endurance of these teen years, what if it's less about who my kids are becoming and more about who I am becoming and the hope that I start to abound in, the person of hope that I am becoming, because I can identify with God's the selfless agape love that has been poured into all of our hearts through the Holy Spirit, never will disappoint me. So maybe these teen years, mom, if this is you, is producing hope in you, not producing perfect adult children. It's that believing in God so that you are becoming a person of hope. That when you get to 80 years old and 90 years old, people smell the fruit of hope off of you. It's this delicious scent of, oh yeah, I know her. She has this confident expectation in God about unimaginable good things to come. Whenever I'm around her, and it's not like she Pollyannas all over me and dismisses my current suffering. No. It's her praying with me to have this confident belief in God and this shifting my belief about the worst case scenario to shifting my belief to the best case scenario and speaking hope over myself, my circumstance, my kids, my future. And it's enduring. It's enduring through the suffering and being encouraged. Oh man, she's that person of hope. If that's what comes out of this season for me, not perfect adult children who are doing exactly what I hope they do, but that I have hope that is grown in me, that I flipped that switch on February, whatever it was, and I choose to move from worry to being a person of hope, man, it's worth it. And whatever suffering stage you are going through right now, maybe you just had your first baby. And this is hard. This is not, you're projecting out, man, this is a lot of selflessness. This is a lot of giving up of myself for this person, this little body. And I do love this little body, but man, this is a lot. I want to fill you with ideas of unimaginable good things to come. And here's some practical ways to shift. And I've kind of talked through them, but maybe replacing the what if worries with the even if faith. Instead of what if my child struggles, saying even if and when my child struggles, God has unimaginable good things to come. Praying specifically for faith and belief in him. I think it's amazing that God never asks of us something that he doesn't give us the power to do. The Holy Spirit is real. The Holy Spirit is available. And the Holy Spirit can even give you belief when you don't have belief. I believe, help my unbelief, was one father over his son. And I do think it's taking these thoughts captive. I think that a third practical thing you can do, in addition to switching your what-ifs to your even-ifs and you're praying for belief, if you are struggling with belief, is when that worry comes, stopping yourself. Okay, wait, what imagined scenario am I thinking right now? And then replacing it with, who do I believe God is? Is God for me? Does God have good plans for me? Is God present with me? Is he capable of restoring and redeeming all things? And then if you are someone who loves to look at the past, reflect on times when you've been in suffering seasons and God has done unimaginable things. Look back. They call those Ebenezer stones, right? We call them the marks of what God has done. So I'm going to pray over us right now. I pray that you will join me to flip the switch on worry and to be a person of hope. And I hope I've shared this well and communicated it well. I know that for me, it's something I'm hoping to move forward and walk into. All right, Lord, you're a God who sees. You see exactly what is discouraging and disappointing and depressing the person listening right now. You see how they don't see a way out. And like Paul and Barnabas in the prison, you did the unimaginable thing. You shook the walls of the prison until they crumbled and all of the captives were delivered. And yet Paul did not escape. He stayed. He listened and he waited on your deliverance. And then he got to go in peace. And I pray that we would be people in whatever place of suffering or hard or disappointment or discouragement, that we would wait anticipating your deliverance, that we would anticipate and be people of hope who expect you to do unimaginable good things. I pray, Lord, that the person listening, if they're struggling to believe, God, that you are good and that you are for them, that you would help them uproot and become aware of where that belief started, and that with a group of people, they could pray together and they could restore what is true about you and about them, that they could replace that with the truth. Jesus, we pray you would go back to those places and reveal yourself to them, that you would heal that memory, that you would heal that part of their story so they can move forward, and that they could just ask you, Holy Spirit, to give them even the power to believe in hope. I pray that you would capture our imaginations, that they would be under the guide of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that we would lean on your power and your control and not on our own efforts, and that we would surrender that burden that we often carry about us being the ones responsible for others or even our own story, God, that we recognize that we are so limited and we cannot, but you can, and that we let you. And I pray over whoever is listening, wherever they are, that supernaturally through the power of this, even this prayer, Lord, that hope would abound in them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, y'all, I know it's a little different. I just went with it. Thank you for bearing with me. And I hope that you feel God's immense love for you. He's chasing you down. He has unimaginable good things for you. And if you can't believe it, I'm believing it for you. Meet y'all back here next week.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.